It is wonderful to see everybody here this morning, and we welcome those that are live streaming at home, and if you're not feeling well, we are very sorry and we miss you tremendously. I'll be filling in for Randy this morning, got some big shoes to fill, and I just hope that he is doing much, much better. Kelly's been leading us in some songs that kind of go along with the topic of my lesson this morning. He's very good about, you know, calling Randy, and he reached out to me, and I thought, well, sure, yes, let's put some songs in there. One is the last one that we just sang, which is Faith is the Victory. And he also sang, you know, a song earlier, Our God is Alive. And the battle belongs to the Lord. And all these songs go along with what we're going to be studying this morning, or the message that I'm going to try to do my best in delivering. Mitch this morning, and we did not talk, but Mitch this morning talked about David in the book of Psalms. Talk about the goodness of God in his preparedness for the Lord's table. The goodness of God and how he fulfills our needs. He created the world, and he also said that he rules the world. We need to know within ourselves that God is good, and that he will always be there for his people. He was there for his people back in Isaiah. And I'm going to base a lot of my thoughts around the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I will read portions of it. You can read the whole chapter if you want to. I'm going to omit the first part of the chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 7 if you want to follow along. Also, I'm sorry there's no PowerPoint this morning. It's just me. Myself and my thoughts. So if you want to follow along, Isaiah 51, I'm going to start reading here in verse 7. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts, do not fear the reproach of men, or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. Awake, awake, clothe yourself with strength. O arm of the Lord, awake, as in days gone by, as in generations of old. Was it not you who cut Rahab to pieces, who pierced the monster? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made a road in the depths of the sea, so that the redeemed might cross over? The ransom of the Lord will return. Then they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their head. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day, because of the wrath of the oppressor who is bent on destruction? For where is the faith of the oppressor? The cowering prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. For I am the Lord your God, who turns up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty, in his name, I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundation of the earth, and who say to Zion, you are my people. everlasting salvation for Zion. Isaiah prophesied the Babylonian captivity of Judah. But he also prophesied the release of God's people in the passage that I just read. The people were afraid of their oppressors. In the word of the New Testament, or the New International Version from Isaiah, in 51 and 14, it says, they would be cowering prisoners, waiting to be set free. I looked up the New King James Version, and it read, the captive exile hastens that he may be loosed. New English Standard Version reads, he who is bowed down. I prefer the NIV version, the New International Version. It makes more sense to me. The Lord here is comforting Zion and explaining to them about everlasting salvation. Why do you suppose these people were cowering? Why do you think that they were afraid? These people were truly afraid of Babylon. They feared Babylon, but they didn't fear God. They had reason to fear Babylon for the harm it wanted to do, but they should have also realized that God's power was much greater. They should have had the faith in knowing that he would be there. Babylon was interested in making the people captives, and God was interested in setting them free. The people had misplaced their fear and their love. They probably just lost their faith. Jerusalem should have feared God's power. They should have loved God's mercy. But people cowered because of their lack of faith in God. And this and this doubt manifested itself in two different ways. One, the fear of the might of the oppressor, and the fear of the lack of provisions. The enemy was strong enough to defeat them and to make everything from them go away. Why should God or anyone else come to their aid? But God reassures his people that they would be redeemed and comforted. We find that in verse 12 and verse 13 here in this chapter. That despite their punishment, they would still be his people, and that he would set them free before they died or starved in their imprisonment. This lesson for us today is a reminder that God is bigger, he is stronger, he is mightier than our enemies, and that he will deliver you out of all the troubles that you may experience in this life that we live. That he will set you free from the things that bind you, and that he will make sure that you will not go hungry. Or as in verse 14 says, they will not lack bread. And just as he promised to the Jews, he says this to you and me. We're going to look at three points this morning that Israel needed to understand, and that we need to comprehend today. One is going to be that God will fight for his people. God will free his people. And God will feed his people. Look at the first point. Let's look at the promise. In Deuteronomy, the first chapter, the 29th and the 30th verse, it says, verse 29, then I say to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in Hezekiah's prayer, back in Isaiah 37, 18 through 20, it says, it is true, O Lord, the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these people and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only made out of wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. And then Isaiah 37, 36 and 37, it says, this is in regard to Sennacherib's fall. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men. The angel of the Lord. We just had lessons from Randy about angels. And when you read this text, it says, then the angel, one singular, went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, they were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. God takes care and fights for his people. Here's our promise as believers. In 1 John 5, 4 and 5, it says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And I thank Charlie again for leading that song. Faith is the victory. We've been studying this in the kids' class, or the teachers have been teaching this to the kids. And I've had the opportunity on Wednesday evenings to go back and be with them. And the teachers do such a great job because they know this so well. And their enthusiasm is overwhelming. And that is just great to see. They're getting this deeply rooted in them right now at such a young age. To overcome the world is to gain victory over its sinful pattern. And when we overcome the world of life, it's just another way of describing obedience of God. The struggle of sin is within each and every one of us. In the book of Romans, chapter 7, 23 through 25, the Apostle Paul says, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin and work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But in a sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. This inward struggle with sin was a real feeling that Paul had, as it is for us. We go through this life and we are out in a world where there is so much anti-Christian-isms, if you want to put a word on it. Just like Justin was saying the other night, how he has a coworker that has been brought on the carpet for things that he has said or what he believes in. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 12 and 13, it reads, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. Paul wrote this book while he was in prison. Why was he in prison? He was in prison for preaching the gospel. But he put this in a written format. And he sent it out to the churches so he could strengthen the unity of the body from afar, since he was not able to be there in person. His faith was not lacking while he was in a very, very dark place. He wanted to make sure, and he wanted to reassure his people that he was okay and to keep their faith. My second point, God will free his people. So we know that God will fight for his people, and now God will free his people as well. So if we look at Israel's example, in Isaiah 51 and 11, what I just read earlier, in the 11th chapter, it says, the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Here we find, by reading this verse, that the people who Christ has ransomed or rescued with his blood, as well as by his power, will obtain a joyful deliverance from every enemy. In this world of changes, and we've had a lot, we have had quite a few just in the last few years. But when you look at the congregation and you look at the different age groups, I've experienced a lot in my lifetime as far as different changes that have gone on in my lifetime. But I'm sure that the people, the members here that are older than I, probably have experienced much more. They have seen a lot more change. And praise be to God that they have kept their faith. Another example of God freeing his people is what was read in chapter 51 of Isaiah and verse 14. So this cowering prisoner will be set free and not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. Okay, so what is an example of our New Testament freedom? How can we be sure that God will free us? We know that he said that he will free his people in Israel. But what about us? In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it reads, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. If you were in prison, and you were convicted of a heinous crime, and you heard these words, not guilty, let him go. The fact is that the whole human race is theoretically there. But wouldn't that be a great thing to hear if you were guilty and the jury decided that you were not guilty? Yes, you'd pay for your consequences, but the thing is that with Christ, through Christ, we are guilty. We are guilty of sinning each and every day. But with him, with the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have that hope. We would have no hope if he did not endure that horrible death on the cross. Thank God that he has declared us not guilty. And it's through our faith and baptism we have this freedom and hope of eternal salvation. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. What is godly sorrow produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves? What indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done? At every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this manner. When you think back and you think about Peter, the Apostle Peter and Judas, talking about godly sorrow here versus worldly sorrow. They both disown Christ, but Peter had remorse and repentance, while Judas had bitterness, and he took his own life. In verse 11, Paul is praising the Corinthians here because of their godly sorrow and repentance. They accepted his criticism. They accepted his correction and rebuke with grace. And by doing this, they learned that it was a growing experience for them. They became rooted. They evaluated their fault and grew in their faith. This life that we lead is truly a work in progress. We should never be done or finished learning or studying God's Word. In 1 John 1, verse 9, it reads, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness." This verse tells us that our relationship with Christ is secure. It is there. It is ours. Do we need to confess our sins? Absolutely. We absolutely do. This is not once in grace, always in grace. There is a tendency to fall. But if we confess our sins to Him daily, we have that everlasting home. We will have that freedom now, and we will have that freedom later. God will also feed His people. The example, once again, is in verse 14 of Isaiah 51. It says, "Nor will they lack bread." In Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, 1 through 6, as an example of Israel, it says, "If you obey the Lord your God and carefully follow His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be released in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out." While all these blessings that are mentioned may not have happened in their lifetime, they were promised. And if obeyed, they will experience the fullness of blessing in the new heaven and in the new earth. So how will God feed and take care of us today? In Matthew 6, 31 through 33, it reads, and Jesus was speaking here, it says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And boy, is that true. To make sense of these verses, think of it like this. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent, but worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference. Careful planning is thinking ahead about goals, about steps and schedules, and trusting in God's guidance. That's careful planning. And I believe that sometimes worries, by contrast, are consumed by fear. Don't let worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. We always have worries that we're going to be confronted with as we go through this life. It's a struggle at times, but it's a learning lesson. It is a learning lesson. We will fall. We will stumble. But we have to know and understand that God will be there. He will be there always for His people. We need to understand that these cowering prisoners that we read in Isaiah 51 and 14, were going to be set free. And God was going to be the one that was going to be setting them free. God fights for His people. He frees His people. And He feeds His people. He will take care of each and every one of us. You know, sometimes we get down on ourselves. Am I living correctly? Am I living the right life? How's my relationship with my family, extended family? How's my relationship with my spiritual family here? Am I doing the correct things that I need to do in order to build another person up? Am I being positive? Am I showing them positive reinforcement as far as, you know, them worshiping like us, edifying one another, being a part of this group? We are all one group. We are under the umbrella of the Almighty God. We are following as close as we can to His words as far as how we worship. We don't add anything to the worship. We don't take anything away. We do what is written as far as how we come together and worship Him. Praise Him in singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We partake of the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week. We lay by in store. We pray continually. Why do we do this? Well, it's because we have faith. We have faith that this world that we live in is just going to be passing. It's like in a blink of an eye. When I was younger, I thought that this, you know, I'm going to be here forever. You know, it's a long time until I'm 63 years old. Well, it's not so long. It isn't so long at all. It just seems like time just keeps passing quickly, quickly. And the people that were in your life when you were young, they're not there anymore. They're not there anymore. They're gone. They have passed from this life. They have passed on to their eternal home with God. This one day, what happened to us? Everyone is going to meet God. Each and every one of us. And personally, I look forward to that day. I look forward to that day. Because as you get older, these pains of this physical body just absolutely... My back is killing me right now. But you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is. And I look at someday being home with those that have gone on before and with all of you. This life is a learning lesson. And we want to make sure that at the end of our life that we are in the right mindset. That we have that faith. That we have studied to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be deeply rooted in this book. We need to study. We need to gain wisdom, knowledge, understanding, so that we can help each other, not tear each other down, not criticize, but to build each other up. That's so very important. God is Almighty. He will fight for us. He will free us. and He will always be there to take care of us. Once you are united with Christ in baptism, you are one of God's people. And these blessings are yours. It is true that God's blessings in our life are dependent upon our obedience to God. We cannot earn God's blessings, and we cannot rid ourselves of His love and concern for us. He has promised us deliverance. He has promised us deliverance for the wayward and captive children of Israel. He did do that. And He also promised to free our number who have allowed themselves to be enslaved by sinful bad habits and their consequences. If you're living this life motivated by materialistic things or possessions, maybe you need to rethink your motives and focus on what the Lord wants you to do. Paul was in a battle with himself. He had this uneasiness within himself. But he let the Lord help him. He let the Lord fight for him. When we pray and we turn our troubles over to God, God, You take this. You take it and You please help me through this. And we ask Him for His help. Sometimes I believe that we think that He isn't acting fast enough. Because You want it to happen now. I don't want this anymore. I want You to take it, and I want You to make it all better now. Well, sometimes He just doesn't work that way. And so what we do is we take it back. We try to handle it in our own way. And we try to fight the battle ourselves. And it just doesn't go well at times. If we confess our sins, He is just and He is righteous to forgive us. No matter what it is. And that is something that is just indescribable. He will always be there for us. If you have not obeyed the gospel, and you want that connection, and you want that gift of the Holy Spirit that is within you, and you want to turn away from the life that you've been living, and you want to walk one with God and be part of this spiritual family. It's a great family, especially when things are not going your way. If depression creeps in, who do you go to? Who do you call on if you need help? If you're all alone, what do you do? If something like that happens to one of us in here, just a phone call. Hey, I need to talk to you. Or I need some help. Or can you pray with me? Because I just don't feel spiritual right now. Because that's what this life is all about. Sometimes we just have a hard time dealing with that. And in our mind and process, we just defeat ourselves. Because we rationalize about it. But if you want to be part of this family, you want to be baptized, you want to walk in newness of a life that is filled with joy and happiness, remember that God will always be there for each and every one of us, no matter what it might be. If you're subject to the gospel call today, and you want to give Christ your hand to lead you through this life, Anyone want to give God your heart? Because that's what He wants. He wants our heart. He wants us to be, you know, He's our creation. He wants us to live with Him for eternity. Have you thought about eternity? That's a long time. This is just a vapor in the wind. It's gone so fast. But just, you know, you think about the ones that have left us just this year that were part of this congregation. They are living their eternity. They're living their life. You think about Vita. You think about Jack. They don't have to worry about this anymore. They're living the reward. They have fought the fight. They have kept their faith. They have that crown of righteousness that we read about in this book. I can remember just, I think it was July of last year, 2021. Jack was there giving us a lesson about the bridegroom. They had faith because they knew God would take care of them. I hope some of this has sunk in. It did with me while I was studying it. About how God took care of His people back in the Old Testament. And He was there then. And He is with us right now. And I hope I gave you examples of Scripture to show that. Like I said, I didn't have an outline, but if you want copies of this, you're more than welcome to them. You're more than welcome. So at this time, Charlie's going to lead us in a song of invitation. If you're subject to this call, if you have any pressing issues, and you want the prayers of the congregation, just let us know. We'll be more than happy to assist. If you want to become baptized, and if you want that spiritual new life, now's the time to come forward as Charlie leads us in a song.